First Peter, if you'd go there, please. First Peter. We've been talking these last several weeks from the Word of God about a living hope. Hope in the Lord Jesus. A hope that's alive. This is our fourth part. Celebrate joy. How many like to have a party? Well, one of you, okay? How many like to have a party? We like to celebrate. We like to have joy. And the Bible is going to talk something about that this morning. But let me give you, first of all, before we get there, just a little bit of history to go back to. And on that backdrop, we move into 1 Peter. In Old Testament Israel, as you recall your history, God sent the prophets over and over again to try to turn the nation back to God. God had been patient for decades and hundreds of years over and over again. And he continued to try to reach out to them and grieve over them and be angry over their sins. And yet they consistently turned to other gods and into idol worship. The Lord finally allowed judgment to fall in their lives, in their nation. After 200 years of existence as a nation, northern Israel was overrun by Assyria. And if you, again, you recall your history, Assyria was a brutal, torturous nation. The things they used to do to their captors, you don't even want to go into detail about. I mean, they would literally skin them alive, and they were just vicious people, a bloodthirsty nation. They brought people to live in their land from Israel. And they took people that they had captured from other lands and sent them into Israel. And that's the root, by the way, of the people called the Samaritans. The Samaritans have that as their root. But because of their sins, the chief of which was idolatry, the northern, if you will, kingdom of Israel lasted only how many years? 208 years. God tried to turn Assyria around. He cares for all people. We heard it over and over again this morning. His love, his care. He tried to turn Assyria around. Remember, he sent a prophet named Jonah to Assyria. Now, Jonah wasn't thrilled about going there. You know why? Because these people were brutal and torturous and horrible. And Jonah didn't want them to turn around. Have you ever felt like that sometimes? We shouldn't. But Jonah didn't want it until God got Jonah back on the right path. Jonah was even angry at the end of his little four-chapter book we see there. But God did, through Jonah's prophetic word, turn those people around. And temporarily, they had a reprieve. And they were forgiven by the Lord. They continued on, though, with their wickedness. And finally, the Lord judged them as well. In 1985, just an interesting aside, in 1985, Neil Postman wrote a book entitled Amusing Ourselves to Death. He warned that the death of our culture in America will not likely come from brutal outside nations, enemy nations, but from the nation's substitution of shallow, immoral entertainment for rational thinking. In 1787, Edward Gibbons, wrote a book entitled The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. He listed five steps in their fall. See if these sound just a bit familiar. They are an increase in divorce and remarriage for wicked means. Secondly, higher and higher taxes. Number three, a mad craze for pleasure. Four, the building of gigantic weapons of warfare. And five, a time marked by the decay of religion. I think that helps to identify what's going on right now in our own nation, doesn't it? I know I'm talking about celebrate joy. And you go, man, this is bad news. The reality is there is a striking parallel about what happened in that day and in what's happening in America today. And that's why God's people need to pray. Come on, church. That's why God's people need to pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways and pray, I will hear their prayers and heal their land. How many want God to heal our land? We're seeing some good things take place, but there's oh so much more to do. Keep praying, church. Keep praying that God would intervene in America. Well, Judah, after northern Israel was taken away, Judah continues on. But God keeps sending prophets to Judah to try to turn them around. And the southern kingdom lasted only about 334 years. Or another 126 years beyond the northern kingdom. Then they went into Babylon for 70 years. All right, let's go on. Joy comes from revival, from being right with God. Amen. If you discover that in your own life, when you give your life to Jesus or you repent from sin, you're clean, you're forgiven. How many feel a lifting? I'll get it out. A lifting in your heart. A joy that's in your life because Jesus is there. He forgives you. He has mercy on you. And so what happens is they go into 70 years of captivity and the 70 years is up and people begin to cry out to God and miraculously the Lord opens the doors and Zerubbabel comes back. Years later, Ezra, remember Ezra, there's a book after his name in the Old Testament. Ezra, a priest, leads a whole group of people back to Jerusalem, back to Israel, and they rebuild the temple. There's a revival that takes place. It's incredible. First restoration in 70 years, their land was devastated. 13 years later, Nehemiah comes and leads a group of people back to Jerusalem. So 13 years later, you have Ezra having led a revival as a priest. 13 years later, you have Nehemiah as a governor. And he comes back to rebuild the what? The walls. The walls around Jerusalem. Ezra helped establish the temple and then the walls got rebuilt around them. And the walls in the Old Testament really referred to a people who were identified. They were separated. They were protected. And that's what walls were all about. How many know that Jesus is the wall of strength around his people? There's identity, there's strength, there's provision and protection that comes. So there had been severe opposition against them rebuilding these walls and the temple. There was accusation, if you remember. There was hassle and disruption, and they caused fear for the people of God. But the people of God continued, and Nehemiah continued to, and they consecrated themselves to God, and miraculously the walls were rebuilt. So you come to a place in Nehemiah, and I'm going to go to Nehemiah chapter 8 before we go to 1 Peter. Nehemiah chapter 8. And we come to a place where Ezra the priest, Nehemiah the governor, and Malachi the prophet are leading the people in a great celebration. By the way, your last Old Testament book, Malachi, that prophet was prophesying at this time when Ezra and Nehemiah were rebuilding the temple and the walls in Jerusalem. That's the timing of what took place. So God sees that these people are crying out, they're confessing, they're repenting, they read the Word of God for a quarter of the day. It's absolutely an incredible time. They're getting ready to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the greatest celebrations of the year in Israel. So this is a big deal. Listen to the Word of God. I'm not going to put it all up there, but Nehemiah 8, verses 9 through 12, if you're taking notes. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord." And then we have this little phrase. "Do not sorrow," please read it for me, "for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Come on, say it again. "The joy of the Lord is your strength." One more time. "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Now turn to each other and say, "So get joyful." What that literally means, "the joy of the Lord is your strength," that literally means in Hebrew, "the joy of the Lord is your fortification." Your strength is your fortification. He builds those walls of protection around you as you enjoy Him and enjoy His blessings. God builds a protection around His people by giving them a spirit of joy in their relationship with Him. God has restored them. They're forgiven. They're celebrating. They're back home. They're getting ready to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Why not party hardy? Come on, amen? Turn to each other and say, "You should party hardy in the Lord." Today, we surrender to the Lord. He forgives us. He's got mercy on us. He washes us by His blood. He redeems us. He makes us His own. We're saved by grace through faith, not of our own works, lest we perish. Pastor Sherry was absolutely on target, and she didn't even see my notes here this morning, but is right on about this relationship with God where we didn't do it ourselves. We just get to yield and surrender to a God who does all things well. Jesus sees you this morning. He knows you this morning. He knows the need of your life. He knows the need of my life. And He says, I'm not going to leave you alone if you're my kids. I've got you. I'm surrounding you. I'm with you. Come on into the tabernacle and enjoy me. God is here. He loves you so much. You know, you sit there and you go, man, why is He saying this over and over again? Because I'm trying to counter just a little bit of all the cruddy bad news you hear every day all week long. I have you for just a little while on Sunday morning. And if I can do anything to raise our thinking to the thinking that Jesus says in His Word, and I can send you out the door with the joy of the Lord as your strength, with the Word of God as your portion, if I can help you have something to hold on to overcome the onslaught of the negative garbage in the world, involved with the truth of Jesus that shows you how much He loves you, He cares, He's with you, He redeems you, He forgives you, He washes you, and you go, I did it myself, it was my mistake. Yet your Father God bends down, picks you up and says, I know, but I forgive you. Come on, any parents in this room ever have your kids stumble and fall right in front of you when they were little kids? Did you look at them? Did you stand back and say, what a dope? Did you do that? Did you look at your kids and say, that was really a doofus move? Only if you were laughing, you might have done that, if they were maybe a little older. But what do? You did what I did. You pick them up, say, hey, man, I'm here. Actually, when they're really young, if they're little kids and they only barely stub their toe and they're crying and crying and crying, then you might do what I did, too. What? You want me to take you to the hospital? No. Okay. Well, that's good. But you love them and you care for them. And you say, you know, there's another opportunity to walk this path. And you can do this. You can get up. You can walk. You can go on again. Jesus sees you and He sees me this morning. And He says, you can go on again. I love you. I forgive you. I'm with you. You can go on again. Your mistakes are behind you. Your great days are ahead of you. The best days of your life are just ahead of you. Because Jesus is coming again and we're going to celebrate with Him. And He's here now and He's tabernacling with His people. And He says, I love you. I'm with you. The best days are ahead of you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Don't be grieved. Did Israel blow it? Sure. Did they spend years in captivity? Did you ever bring something on yourself? You know, you got a consequence on your hands and you go, well, I know who did this. It was me. But God has mercy and forgives you. He says, don't be grieved. I'm yours and I'm here. The people went their way, the Bible says, to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your fortification. God builds this protection around you. He's restored you. He's forgiven you. And now we rejoice. The joy is our fortified place and our defense. I want to tell you something, and I really want you to consider it. And I'm not trying to be harsh with anybody. But joyous Christianity, joyless Christianity, is nothing more than religious tradition and dead works. Because if you really know Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you know how much you've been forgiven, joy is your portion. Come on, someone say amen. Man, oh man, I can tell you, I grew up going to church and I had religion and dead tradition. I didn't even get it. So I didn't enjoy it. Was anybody else like me? I didn't enjoy going to church because it didn't make sense to me. My mom was a preacher's kid. I was the third of three children. The other two got out of going to church, but not me. Okay, we're going to church. Oh, boy. But when I gave my life to Jesus, when I knew I was forgiven, when I knew I didn't have to bear that stuff on my shoulders anymore, when I knew the past was gone, and God had mercy and God had a family for me and my life was different. When I knew I had been changed, all of a sudden my heart started to sing. I always loved to sing, but all of a sudden I had a new song in my heart, and I had a new song that came out, and I had the joy of the Lord as my strength. And I've been through a lot of ups and downs like you have for the last 45 years. And I get there, and I at my lowest points, I still have something that won't let me go. Jesus won't let me go. And I love him. And I rejoice. Peter says, rejoice. Point two. Peter says, rejoice. Peter says, what? The apostle of grace, the Lord's disciple who denied Jesus three times, writes about joy. You know, I just love Peter, don't you? Peter reminds me a little bit about me, man, impetuous, jump off the deep end and get frustrated and have to come back and be forgiven. And then Peter is out fishing after the Lord's gone to the cross and been buried and put away. And then there's the story of the resurrection, and, you know, but he's going out fishing. I can just hear him in the tone of voice that day. I'm going fishing. And the other guys, he was a leader, right? So the other guy said, well, we'll go with you. So they're out fishing, and all of a sudden they see this man on the beach cooking breakfast. That it's like they didn't quite recognize it was the Lord, but he's cooking breakfast, and they toiled all night fishing. Remember the story? They toiled all night long and they didn't find anything. And this guy from the beach says, hey, put your net on the other side. You'll catch something. Threw the net on the other side. Man, that net was loaded with fish. And somebody brilliantly, it's like we catch up slowly sometimes. I feel just like this guy looks up and goes, it's the Lord. But don't you love Peter? Don't you just love him? You know what Peter does? Jumps in the water and swims to shore. It's like the other guys. Okay, guys, you take care of the fish. You bring the boat in. I'm going to see Jesus. The one who forgave me. The one who loves me. The one who redeemed me. The one I denied, but he looked at me and forgave me. He said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Man, I just want to swim to shore and see him and be with him. Now Peter's writing to people who are suffering in 1 Peter, the persecution that's come across the world, and they're suffering incredible trials and difficulties. And Peter said, look, I know you're going through grievous trials, but I want you to be buoyed in your spirit, and I want you to be understanding. And by the way, Peter is most likely writing from Rome in the days just before he was to be killed. And here's what he says in verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been what? Grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the revelation of your problem, the revelation of Jesus. Whom, having not seen, you what? Love. You love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with what? Joy. Come on, joy, inexpressible, and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The joy of the Lord is your fortification, your defense, your reward. If you're suffering as a Christian, you're different. You are different. I'm different. People don't like your stand for Jesus all the time. But you still have him. You still know him. They can steal your body. They can't steal your soul. And you know where you're going. No one can take him away. And you have a living hope. Because someday, if your life gets taken away, you know exactly where you're going, to that real tabernacle with him forever. You celebrate eternal life, you celebrate heaven, but when do you start that celebration? Now. Come on, when do you start the celebration?
Now.
Now. You have Jesus, you have heaven, you got the best retirement plan there is. And we all should look like Alfred E. Newman. What? Me worry? Your fortification. He's the one who's with you. The fiery darts that the enemy likes to throw are quenched by your faith. The shield of faith. He's the one. He's got you right in his hands. He's crazy about you. People say we're crazy. We're crazy about Jesus. How are you today? Come on, how are you today? I'm loved. How are you today? I'm loved. Come on, say it with me. How are you today? I'm loved. Loved by Jesus. Loved by God. So what do? Keep leaping for joy. Keep leaping for joy. The Bible says you rejoice with joy unspeakable and inexpressible. The Greek literally means there, you leap and jump for joy. Come on, you leap and jump for joy. Why? Because you believe Jesus. Because Jesus is with you. You understand you're saved by grace through faith. Now, I'm emphasizing that over and over again. Next week, we will celebrate Reformation Sunday. A man named Martin Luther, a simple monk that very few people knew, had a burden to be assured of his relationship with God. And he discovered a simple truth that sent a spiritual earthquake through this planet. And it's called, the just shall live by faith. Saved and redeemed by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not through your own works. Are you glad, church?
Yeah.
It's not what you can do, it's what he's already done. Keep leaping for joy. Why? Because you know that you will receive the end result of your faith. You're going to receive the salvation of your souls. The salvation of your souls. A scripture I don't have up there I'm going to refer to. Because the Lord gives his people honey from the rock. How many have ever heard that phrase? Honey from the rock. Do you know it's in the Bible twice? Deuteronomy chapter 32. And in Psalm, there's a, Psalm 60. Is it Psalm 68? I'm not sure. Can't remember which one. But Deuteronomy 32, verses 10 through 13. And that section of Scripture deals with Jacob, who God saw and picked up. The language goes, he picked you up in the desert place like an eagle picks up its eaglets. And he feeds him with the finest of the wheat and with honey from the rock. Now hang in here with me for just a quick minute as I explain what that even refers to. How many have ever felt your life was in a rocky place? Come on. You ever had difficulties? You ever had felt like stones in the way? How many have ever really stubbed your toe bad? You wake up in the morning, you don't see, and you slam your toe into that chest of drawers or whatever. And what comes out of your mouth? Praise God! Is that what comes out of your mouth? It should, right? That's what should. Come on, come on, come on. Okay, the altars are open for repentance. No, but oh man, that hurts. Nothing hurts worse than that. I'm sure a lot of things hurt worse than that. But at that moment, that's what it seems like. And he picks you up. And he makes sure that you don't fall apart when life gets hard, like in the rocks and the craggy places. And honey from the rock means in those craggly, rocky places, there's a certain kind of wild bee that builds a hive, and the sweetest honey can be received from the rockiest places. If we respond to Jesus and hold on to him and know that he's got a hold of us, Jesus will give us honey from the rock when we're going through the toughest times. Why? Because you're his. Because he loves you. I had times, and I could weep when I think of it, that I had to allow my sons to go through things that I didn't want them to go through. I watched, you know, they weren't in my home at this time, but I watched decisions being made, and I tried, and I tried. And, you know, it's like you and me. You know, when we were kids, we had to make all our own choices, right? And you watch some of the choices be made, and you go, oh, God. And we watched as things crumbled. And I've also watched God bring restoration in the miracle of grace. But you break in your heart and you don't want to see anybody you love go through that. Just like Father God and his heart breaks when he sees his kids hurting. When he sees you hurting, he loves you. And he comes and he says, I'll give you honey from that rock, honey, if you'll just walk with me. 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9 out of the Passion Version. Listen carefully. You love him passionately, although you did not see him, but through him, believing in him, through believing in him, you're saturated with an ecstatic joy. How many like that? Isn't that cool? You're saturated with ecstatic joy, indescribably sublime and immersed in glory. For you are reaping the harvest of your faith, the full salvation promised you, your soul's victory. Hang on, guys. Heaven's coming. But there's life and joy to live now. Jesus loves you. He's with you. You're in the tabernacle with him. He cares. You're not abandoned. And out of the message it says, you never saw him, yet you love him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him with laughter and singing. Because you kept on believing, you'll get what you're looking forward to. Total salvation. Total salvation. So what do? We celebrate. We celebrate Jesus. And we celebrate joy. Amen? Father, we thank you that as we come in this place, as we've celebrated already in your presence, we know we can go out of here celebrating how good you are, how great you are, that you are with us. And we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We thank you so much for your redemption, your power, your mercy, and your grace. And Lord, we leave this place today filled with the joy of the Lord as our strength, knowing that you have redeemed us and done so many great things for us. Now bless your people and strengthen them in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a guest with us this morning, we're so glad that you're here with us. We invite you to come back with us and be with us again 10 o'clock next Sunday morning or Grace Gathering Wednesday night at 6:30. If you have further needs and you'd like prayer, Dean and Paula Larson, Stanley Dean Larson and Paula will be right over here at the prayer area helping to pray for people. We rejoice in the Lord and hope that you've had a great time in his presence. Raise your hands for his blessing and we'll send you out the door with joy. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, they all said,
amen.
Amen. Be released in a great day of the Lord. Amen.